When Steve asked me to preach 2 weeks ago, he asked me to preach on a subject that's a very interesting topic for me to preach about. When he came to me and he said, "Ben, I'd like you to preach on the value of being planted in your local church." And the reason that's very interesting for me, it's a very personal topic because I've stood up here and I've told some of my story before, so for a lot of you that may be repeat. But in the first 10 years of my life, we went around the world twice, from Holland to New Zealand, to Holland to New Zealand, back to Holland. And after that, as I was a teenager, we never really, as a family, got planted in the local church. So the result for me was that while I grew up in a Christian family with parents that love God very much, and a lot of you have probably met them when they were over in October, I didn't grow up in being planted in the local church. That was more or less a foreign concept to me. And I really didn't get planted in a local church until I came here to City View in December of 2008, 2 months after Ruth and I got married. And there's a lot of reasons why I didn't get planted in a local church, and I'll probably get into some of that later. For me, probably it was a combination of a critical attitude. Dutch people by nature, if you know anything about Dutch people, one of the things they are is they speak their mind. They're not very tactful, and they have a tendency to be critical. They have an opinion about everything and feel they are free to express that opinion. So if you find me doing that, forgive me. I'm still doing my best to adjust to the American culture. But the critical attitude and some other elements, fear and pride, kept me from getting planted in the local church until I came here. And I remember sitting down with Steve for breakfast and saying, "Steve, my family and I especially need to get planted in a local church. I feel that's really like we need to get settled." And for me, it's been one of the best things that has happened in my life spiritually, apart from salvation. And I don't say that lightly. And coming from teenage years, which are formative years, where my parents went from church to church, never really grounded in a church, with I love my parents, I honor my parents, but there was always a reason to move on to another church. So I never really grew up with that. So it was a foreign concept to me. So in Bible college, they teach you that every sermon needs to have a catchy title. So, and because I need to have a catchy title, because that's what I was taught, I'm going to entitle the sermon this morning "To Plant or Not to Plant." The value of being planted in the local church. So if you're in Romans 11, I want to just start off by laying some groundwork. Romans 11, verse 36. There's some foundational things I want to quickly lay down in order to be able to roll out the rest of the sermon and really properly talk about the value of being planted in a local church. Romans 11 verse 36 says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." It's probably, in my preaching, one of the scriptures that I quote the most because it's so foundational, as far as I'm concerned, to everything else. So let me read it again. "For from him and through him and to him are all things." So that scripture says that all things are created to God, by God, for God, and to God. So in other words, the reason you and I exist, the reason we live and breathe is for God and to God. And that sounds very elemental, but I believe if we truly understand what that really means, it'll radically transform our lives. The reason I live and breathe, the reason I have time, the reason I have money, the reason I have energy, the reason I have relationships is to bring glory and honor to God and to point people to Jesus Christ. And if we're going to go any further, I need to lay that foundation first. The reason that is so life-transforming is because it's contrary to everything that society and culture teaches us. We live in a society and a culture that teaches individualism, consumerism, and hedonism, or living for pleasure. So our culture has developed a mindset that says we exist for our happiness, we exist to gratify ourselves, to live full and fulfilling lives, and ultimately we are at the center of our own universe. And you come across that in everything. It's what advertising and marketing is based on. And unfortunately, that has trickled down into the church as well, where we come to church, or we don't, but we have a mentality that ultimately it's really about me, whether we verbalize that or not. A lot of times, in one way or another, it comes out in some way or form. I see it in myself, the traces of that cultural mindset. But again, the Bible teaches that I don't live for me, I live for God, and I live to glorify God, and I live to point people to the glory of God from a passionate love relationship with God, to point people to Him. And if you start reading the Bible, and especially the New Testament, you'll find that one of the primary instruments God has placed in order to effectuate that in the world and in our lives is the local church, is the body of Christ. I want to take you to another scripture. If you have your Bibles there still, turn to Ephesians chapter 4, which again, this is a well-known scripture. And just to give some context to the scripture, I want to start with verse 11. Ephesians 4 verse 11 says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers, to equip the saints for work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." Let me read that last verse again. Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. See, there's a design. This morning, Paul Tripp was talking about design and the way God designed things. And if something functions the way it's designed, it functions well. He gave the example of a train that works great when it's on tracks, but a train's not going to make it through a meadow. It'll stop if it's not on tracks. A boat works great in the water, but you put it on I-83, it's not going to do very much. In the same way, the local church has been designed by God as a vessel of growth to effectuate growth in our lives, in the lives of people around us and in the lives of our communities and ultimately our world. And that's a very important principle to understand. When we became Christians, okay, when we were born again, we became part of the body of Christ. So whether you like it or not, you don't have a choice. If you want to live for God, you're part of the body of Christ. That's a fact. Okay? You can't say, well, you know, like 1 Corinthians 12 say, I'm a hand, so I'm not part of the body, or I'm a foot, so I'm not part of the body. No, you are part of the body of Christ. And you see here in this scripture laid out very beautifully, as far as I'm concerned, that the whole body, if you take out the sub-sentences, the verse says, the whole body makes the body grow. It's the body that makes the body grow. So it is the body of Christ that effectuates spiritual growth in people's lives. So when we talk about the value of being planted in the local church, the place to start is spiritual growth. When we become part, when we get planted in the local church and really let our roots down, spiritual growth starts to take place in our lives. That's the way God has designed it. Alternatively, if we're not planted in a local church, the reality is that we're going to be severely crippled in our spiritual growth. And the reason I emphasize that is because we live in an individualistic culture that declares that you don't need anybody else and you can do it on your own. I can sit at home, I can pray, I can read my Bible, I can listen to worship music. Joyce Meyer comes on at 10:30 on Sunday mornings, so I can listen to Joyce Meyer. Love Joyce Meyer, nothing wrong with her. But that's the mentality that has seeped into the church through our culture. But the Bible teaches that we are part of a corporate entity called the body of Christ. And whether you like it or not, that body of Christ is expressed locally in the local church. And I hope that's why we're here this morning. So the design, again, the design is that spiritual growth takes place through the local church. Spiritual growth does not take place in a vacuum. And I don't mean one of these vacuums. I mean in a vacuum, in a solitary bubble. That's not where spiritual growth takes place. God has ordained it as such that one of the primary ways to orchestrate change in our lives is through deep, meaningful, and sustained relationships with fellow believers. And if you cut yourself off from that, or if you choose not to get planted, you're putting yourself essentially at a disadvantage. Does that make sense? So putting it positively, there's a tremendous opportunity for us to bring change in ourselves, in our families, in our church, and in our communities when we become part of a local church. If you want to grow, plant yourself in a local church. Growth takes place when we do life together, when we laugh and cry and argue and clash and make up and forgive. That's when spiritual growth takes place. Now, obviously, it can't take place divorced from the head, which is Jesus Christ. There needs to be an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. But the reason I'm emphasizing the value of the local church this morning is because a lot of times I've heard, well, what's really important is that you have a deep, meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ. And I completely agree with that. However, if you're not planted in the local church, it's just me in my own little world. There's a song out there at the moment, my own little world, population me, you know? And for us specifically as a local church, that's where life groups play a large part, because in all honesty, we have 10 minutes of greeting time, but that's not a lot of time to connect with people, you know, share your life. You know, if Melvin comes up to me and asks me how I'm doing, I, you know, not very many of us would say, oh, you know, I've really been struggling this week. You know, most of us will say, oh yeah, I'm fine, how are you? But that's why we have life groups, because it provides a great environment for the kind of relationship that fosters the spiritual growth that the church was made to effectuate in each other's lives, in our lives, and in lives outside of the church walls. So when we get planted, what happens is our perspective begins to change. And before I go on, I guess I really should clarify, by being planted, I if you're going to talk about a concept like that, I guess you need to clarify it. By being planted, I don't mean coming to church once in a while, or even coming to church on Sunday and having shallow, casual, superficial relationships and conversations with people. What I mean by getting planted is giving yourself to God's purpose for your life through the local church. And I'll build on that a bit later, but that's what I mean by getting planted, by giving yourself, because you don't live for yourself. And when you get planted in the local church, inevitably what's going to happen is your perspective is going to change. That perspective of individualism and consumerism, is that's going to be transformed. Flip over to Philippians once. Philippians chapter 2, again, it's a very well-known scripture, but it speaks volumes. Because what happens when you get planted in a local church, and this is what happened for me, because again, being the critical, opinionated Dutchman that I was, and in some ways still am, I have very strong opinions. I'm not afraid to communicate them. And I'm not afraid to disagree with people if I need to, though I don't really like conflict. What that did for me was, I was assistant pastor at a church in Huntington Station on Long Island for a while. In fact, I did my internship, my last half year of my time at Faith School of Theology was that internship at that church. And they wanted to take me on as an assistant pastor. So while we were working out the paperwork, I became the assistant pastor at that church. And because of my critical attitude, and because of the fact that I had no context of how to function within a local church, whenever something happened that I didn't agree with or that I felt was essentially wrong, I voiced it, and if it didn't change, I left. That was my way of coping with things that in my book were essentially wrong. Looking back, essentially it was my struggle with the leadership style of our pastor. But you can go to place and find something wrong. So you'll keep going around the mountain, around and around and around, because you're not chasing the perfect church, you're chasing yourself. And God keeps bringing you around and around until you come to the conclusion that what it says here in Philippians 2 is of essential value for us as Christians, and it's a tremendous opportunity for us as Christians to grow within the local church. Philippians 2 verse 3 and 4 says, "Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. I can tell you that has to be one of the most challenging scriptures in the Bible. Because if Rich does something that I don't like, that I don't agree with, my fleshly reaction is to rise up against that. And you can give example after example of churches, families, and people that have broken down because they didn't consider. But there's a tremendous opportunity for you and me when we get planted in a local church to have our attitudes radically transformed and to start living this kind of truth. But it can't happen without being planted in the local church. So the value of the local church is spiritual growth will take place, but also that spiritual growth will result in your perspective being changed. And listen, here's the opportunity that God is laying before you. And again, I struggle with making this optional because of the fact that we are called as a people to bring glory to God. And part of that whole design is the local church. And as Christians, we're living for God. So I struggle with saying, well, you have the option. No, you really don't. And I don't mean that in a condemning way, but we don't really have an option. God has made his grace available. We have the choice. So read that scripture again, but read it like this. In humility, consider others' time as more important than your own. In humility, consider others' dreams as more important than your own. In humility, consider others' opinions as more important than your own. Ouch. In humility, consider others' feelings as more important than your own. In humility, consider others' needs as more important than your own. And the only way that can happen is if we begin to interact, open up, become transparent, and begin to share life. And I come back to life groups because that plays such a big part in our church. That's why we have these life groups. Because you can't do that in a group of 200 people. I'm not going to share my struggles with all 200 of you. But I can do it with a limited group of people. And then I can start to practice this. Because the reality is in church we're dealing with imperfect people. And by no means do I justify sin. But the reality is that people are imperfect. So if you're looking for a perfect church, keep looking because there never will be one because the moment you join it, it will be imperfect because you're imperfect. It's never going to be there. So wherever you go, there's going to be imperfection. You're going to have church leadership that doesn't do things quite the way you want them to. You're going to have worship leaders that don't quite sing the song you want or the style you want. And you can come and talk to me afterwards. There's always going to be something if you're looking for it. But God is calling us as people to leave the culture and the attitude of the world behind and to go deeper and to say, God, here I am in humility. I'm going to consider. In Hebrews 10, Deb read the scripture during prayer this morning. Consider how to build each other up. In love, consider how to spur each other on to love and good works. Consider others. Don't consider yourself first in your own ministry and your own time and your own energy. You know, again, there's balance. By no means do I mean that you're supposed to abandon your family completely for the sake of the work of the church. There's a balance, and I'll be the first to say that my family is more important than anything. However, I am called to be part of a local church planted and to consider Kurt, to consider Melvin, to consider Maurice as more important than myself in every way. And I can guarantee you that is a journey and that is a process. That's a process for me. It's a process for you, and it's a process for the pastor, Pastor Steve, for the elders. It's a process for everybody. But as we begin to take that journey, our perspective will radically change. And you really find yourself at a crossroad. If you're not planted in this church, maybe you're coming but you're not planted, you find yourself at a crossroad. Because there are two ways you can go. You can choose to stay the way you are. And again, I'm not trying to incur condemnation, but there is a reality that we have to come to terms with. And you can choose to stay superficially involved to protect yourself and whatever else it is, or you can get planted and plug into the design and the plan that God has for the local church and be changed and have your perspective changed. Am I still making sense? So as there's spiritual growth, our perspective begins to change. The inevitable result of that is that we will turn into servants. And you don't have to turn there. You're familiar with a passage in John 13 where Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, steps down and does something so unimaginable in that culture. He starts washing the disciples' feet, and they didn't have Nike shoes or dress shoes. They had sandals. Their feet were dirty, muddy. If it was raining, goodness knows, it was dirty stuff. But Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And Jesus says, I don't remember the exact wordings, but essentially he says, go and do ye likewise. Go and do the same thing. Wash each other's feet. And what better environment to learn to wash each other's feet than if you're plugged in and planted in the local church. And when your perspective starts to change and say, hey man, these people have needs, time, and their time, it's more important than my own. How can I help? What can I do? How can I serve? It's a natural result of that process taking place in our lives. So we become people who have the interests of others in mind and make that our highest priority. Because the reality is that when I say being planted in a local church, really, it's not about this building. It's not about the ministries. It's not about the positions, and it's not about any prestige that might be culturally attached to that. When I talk about being planted in the local church, the goal of the local church, obviously, to bring glory to God. But the local church is not about programs and ministries. The local church is about people. You and I, we are the local church. And you can't escape that. You can step away from it and say, I'm not going to give my time. I don't want to. I don't want to be changed. I don't want to be confronted with my past. I don't want to deal with issues. But you are, and always will be, as long as you are a believer, you will be part of the local church. You might just not be a participating part. And if you go back to that scripture in Ephesians, it says, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Notice every and each part. You are a part. Whether it be a hand, or a foot, or a ligament, or a big toe, or a pinky. You're part of the body and part of the local congregation of believers, part of the church. The church that's you and the church that's me. Again, you can't escape that. And so as a result, when we pull ourselves back and say, okay, I'm not going to do it, I don't want to, I'm not, whatever the reason may be, you're damaging more than yourself because it's not just you you're talking about. Culture will tell you it's just you that we're talking about. But we need to be real and understand that when the Israelites went against Jericho, they conquered, and then they went against Ai. And if you've spent any time in Bible school, in children's church as a kid, you'll know what happened. I forget his name now. Ahaz, something like that. Achan, something of that nature. He sinned and did something God told him not to do. And the result was that the whole army was defeated when it came against Ai, which was a small city, really not that significant. Joshua didn't send the whole army, but defeat took place. And if you read Corinthians will tell you that these things happened for our example, so that the same thing wouldn't happen to us. So from that, I draw the conclusion that your sin, or what you struggle with, what you do, certainly does affect more than just you. Because the spiritual design, if I had a whole bunch of people line up here holding hands, and there's a link and a chain of people, you know, you send a signal from there to there, the signal will end up there. But if you take one chain out, and it won't happen because it's broken. That's the kind of concept we're talking about. You are a building block in the kingdom of God. You are a building block in the church of God. And your calling as a Christian is to take that place. And that's not something heavy. That's a fabulous thing. You know, for me, again, I said it's been the best thing that has happened to me, because I've learned that there is more to life than my opinions. That other people who love God just as much as I do have a totally different interpretation of certain things, and it's okay all the same. They love God. They have their journey with God. Now, we're not talking about essentials. There are essentials. But I think we tend to make certain things much more essential than they really are, out of pride and because we value ourselves and our opinions so much. And again, I'm preaching to myself because I've been there, and in some cases I still am there. But the local church, let me say it again, was always about people, loving people by serving, by selflessly investing our time, our money, our energy, and our dreams, so that people can find Jesus and grow up into a greater spiritual maturity. That's what the church is all about. That's why our mission statement is calling people to the glory of God. But we need each other to do that. You know, in my years as a teenager, and especially in my early 20s, before I got married to my beautiful wife, who got me back on the straight and narrow, which she does look beautiful. I just have to say that from the pulpit. You look gorgeous, honey. So for those of you listening to this on the website, you should have come. You missed something. But for me in my early 20s, it was, and this is partly because of the type of mentality there is in a lot of Bible colleges, and I'm certainly not blaming mine, I'll blame myself completely for this. It was all about me, and it was all about my ministry and my calling, what God had called me to do, where do I fit in God's plan. But the whole way of thinking, while it sounds very spiritual, I want to do something great for God, you know. Some of you sitting here are going to be the next Billy Graham. Well, what about the next Mother Teresa? Except not so well known on a worldwide scale. You know, it can be all about your ministry, God's plan for your life. Listen to me, young people. I'm still young, but I can say young people because you're younger than I am. It's not all about you and your plan, God's ministry for your life, and where do I fit in? Certainly it is. You know, it's important to find out if you're a hand or a foot. But more important than that is to get plugged in to the local church and learn what God means by humility, by getting planted, by washing the feet of others. And if you want to get equipped for ministry, that is the best way to start. If you want to do something great for God, get plugged in. And that doesn't just go for young people. It goes for all of us. You want to do something great for God? Get plugged in. Get plugged into a life group, because it's not just another ministry we set up. It's an integral part of the design of God's plan for City View Community Church. And because you are part of City View Community Church, it's become an integral part of God's plan for your life. But that's the dream, that as a local church, as the local church, it's a dream that the local church needs to recapture, is that church is about people. It's not about you per se. And again, I don't want to discount people's callings, giftings in various areas, because all of that is very important, especially when you're young, finding out what that calling and that gifting is. But let's not err on that side and forget the fact that it's not about me. I'm part of something greater. That is part of God's design. So finally, as their spiritual growth, our perspectives begin to change. That will automatically, inevitably result in us becoming servants. And then what you'll see happen is that you will receive power. Getting planted in the local church opens you up to a deeper and a greater measure of grace and power from God than you can experience any other way. And I, 4 years ago, would have never believed that I would make a statement like that from the pulpit the way I do this morning. Because I would have been one of the people that said, well, what do you mean? I mean, God's grace has been made available to us. I have everything in Christ. I am seated in heavenly places with Christ. Everything has been given to me. The Bible says I need faith, and faith can move me. That's what I need. And if that's what I have, why is there a greater measure of grace? And again, if you listen to Paul Tripp, he touched on some of these things this morning. We are designed to need other people. You are designed as an individual to need other people. Like I said before, spiritual growth doesn't take place in a vacuum. It takes place in the context of other people, and you need those other people. And for some reason, to a certain extent, in church, we've created a culture where confessing sin is a weakness. Because I'm supposed to be strong. I'm supposed to be spiritual. I'm the worship leader. You know, I'm the worship coordinator. So I'm supposed to be strong. What if people see that I'm weak? And some of you, I know, have had experiences in churches where you've been severely hurt, and it's caused you to pull back and not step in and not give yourself, because what if I'm hurt again? But the problem is that you've been designed to need other people. You need others, regardless of hurtful relationships in the past. You need other people. God has designed it that way. So if you think you're going to make it on your own, I'm sorry, but you're mistaken. And until you acknowledge that you need other people, you will go around that same mountain that I did, in one way or another, time and time again, until you acknowledge, God, I need other people. If you read Watchman Nee, he has a book, The Normal Christian Life? Is he the author of that? I believe so. Anyway, I believe it's that book that where he says that there's always that one thing. You know, you may struggle with anger issues that I might not struggle with, even though if you were in our home yesterday, our daughter, we were sitting at the, we were, you know, let's be real, okay? if we're talking about being real, I won't tell you my deepest, darkest secrets, but I can tell you what happened yesterday while we were sitting at the table. I forget what we were doing, but I was sitting down, Ruth was sitting beside me, and tears, I was standing, just standing. I forget, well, I think she was just standing there. And Hadassah was in an antagonistic mood. So they had been crying in the other room and fussing a bit, and I wasn't sure what exactly was going on, but Hadassah walks over, grabs a handful of her hair, and he yanks her down. And something just rose up inside of me. I got so upset that Ruth got up and got upset with me, say, honey, I'm going to handle this. You sit back down because you're going to discipline out of anger. And my wife saved me yesterday, which she does on a regular basis, to be honest. But that's the reality of life. It's the reality of life is that we struggle against ourselves. And watch Manish says, there's always that one thing. For the rich young ruler, it was giving up everything he had. He kept the whole law, but he couldn't give up the stuff. And whatever that one thing is, you're going to need other people. You're going to need other people. And let's be frank for a moment. If you read statistics on how rampant pornography is, not only in culture, but in the local church, and how many pastors struggle with pornography on a regular basis, it's because, I believe, in great part, because we've created a culture where being weak is weak. But the Bible says that being weak is an expression of strength. We need each other. And if we are going to conquer the giants in our life, you're going to have to talk to people. There's going to have to be relationship. It's not going to happen without it. James 5 verse 16 says, therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The urgent request of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. I believe the King James says, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's how I'm used to reading that scripture, but this is the Holman Christian Standard. Notice that it says, confess your sins one to another. It's not necessarily a sign of weakness. You're not a bad, there's no need to put up a front of maturity and spirituality. You know, there is grace available when we get planted in the local church and begin to open up and say, I need help. I'm struggling. There's something I need. Don't sit there and hold it to yourself, because God is crying out for those chains to be released in your life. And he's giving you everything you need. But whether it be because of pride or fear or not wanting to lose face, we keep it to ourselves. But God says, reach out. Reach out, and there is grace available for you and for me. And notice that scripture, I've always heard that scripture, and just this morning I noticed this as I was looking over my notes. The urgent request of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. Notice that it's said in the context of praying for another person. That just hit me this morning as I was thinking about this. The prayer of a righteous man avails much in the context of the scripture when you're praying for another person. It's why we need other people. It's why we need accountability. And we need to get rid of, if you know that Casting Crowns song, a stained glass masquerade. We come to church and everything's fine. Are we happy? What is it? Are we happy plastic people in our shining plastic steeples with walls behind our weakness? Something like that. I think I messed up the lyrics, but that's okay. Beth will tell me what it is later. Right, Beth? No? Okay. There's a tremendous need for us to open up. And that grace and that power, the beautiful thing is that it's something that works both ways. Not only does planting in the local church open you up to receive grace from other people, it opens you up for the grace of God to flow through you to other people. And that's a tremendous thing. There's nothing like, you know, ministering to somebody and seeing change begin to take place in that life because God is ministering his grace through you. And you might be saying, well, who am I? Like, who am I? I have my own issues, you know, whatever it may be. But that doesn't matter to God. God says, you know, we're working on that. I want to use you. I want to use you to minister to other people. And God's grace is made available for that. He's ready to pour that out to other people. And you are an integral part of that. Now, God will find somebody else if you're not willing. He will. But he wants to use you. And you're an integral part of that whole big design that is called the local church. So, whether your marriage is slowly falling apart, whether you're struggling with sexual sin, whether you have an anger problem, whether you don't see yourself the way God sees you, and you have self-esteem issues, whether you have stuff in your past that's difficult to deal with, there is grace available when you open up, become transparent and say, God, here's my mess. And say to whoever, here's my mess. I need help. Can you help me? And that weakness will open you up to a greater measure of strength than you could have ever dreamt possible in your life. And that's the reason God gives us to each other, to effectuate his plan for our lives. And that plan, you ask yourself, where am I called to be and what am I called to do? You're called to be planted in the local church, to consider others as more important than yourself, to serve, and to administer God's grace and be a recipient of God's grace. And when we start doing that, the outside world will know that Jesus resides inside of us. And that City View Community Church is a church where the love of God reigns supreme, because that's what it's about. It's the love of God. You can shoot somebody else in the foot, but you're shooting yourself in the foot, because we're all about a body of Christ. You can get upset with people for the way they say things and what they do, and sometimes we do get upset. That's where we need the grace and the love of God. So as I'm closing, as I was preparing, you know, I know there are some people here that have been hurt, and maybe the people that are part of the prayer team can come up, and maybe the worship team wants to come up. But some of you are bitter, hurt, and that's the reason that you haven't gotten planted in a local church. That's the reason that you haven't stepped into really the calling that God has placed on your life. But God is calling you to lay down the hurt this morning. God is calling you to lay down that hurt, lay down the bitterness, and say, I need other people. I need God's grace. I need God to move. Some of you are so caught up in your time, your ministry, your opinions, in yourself, that it's difficult or maybe even scary to give yourself away in the context of a local church. Maybe you are just in the way, and trust me, I know exactly what you're talking about, because that was and sometimes still is me. There is grace available this morning. There is grace available this morning. And I don't know what you're up against in your life, but there is grace available this morning. So if you need grace, come up this morning. There are people that want to pray with you. I'm not going to do an altar call, but if you need victory, if you need to overcome something in your life, come forward. And don't just do this. Get plugged into a life group. Talk to people, because there is help. There is grace. It doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't. And the Spirit of God is calling and drawing and saying those chains can be broken if you'll reach out, lay down your pride, lay down your fear, lay down your hurt, and come and receive grace and help. Say, I can't do it on my own. I've struggled against my past. I have trouble seeing myself the way God sees me. How can I ever do anything? How can I ever amount to anything? I'm not strong like you. I could tell you story upon story. I quote the song a lot too. Stephen Curtis Chapman writes a song and says, if the walls could speak of the times I've been weak when everybody thought I was strong, most would turn away, shake their heads and say, he still has such a long way to go. The truth is, we get together on Sunday morning, but we have no idea. In most cases, we have no idea. But I can tell you that the people in my life group have more of an idea. And I can tell you that there are certain people who could tell you all sorts of stories that I've told them, because I'm imperfect and you're imperfect, but we're all in need of grace. And can we please, please break down this facade of strength, this facade of unbrokenness, and acknowledge, listen, I am weak, I need. Change your perspective. Become a servant. Receive grace and power by becoming planted in a local church. And that's not to place guilt upon you, not condemnation, but a cry from the heart of God, because he wants intimacy with his people. And he is longing for his church to become what his church has been desired to be. And you are an integral part of that. Let's pray. And if you want to come forward while we pray, that's fine.